What's a parent to do when they find out that their child is the bully at school?
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll discuss how parents can help curb bullying behavior. Join us. No parent wants to hear that their child is a bully. It's painful to think of your child being bullied. Bullying is also a serious issue for the aggressor. If your child is said to be engaging in bullying behaviors, whether physical or verbal, it might be a sign of serious distress.
Today, we are joined by Mindy Salyers to discuss the topic of bullying from the victim and aggressor perspective, so from both sides. Since 2013, Mindy has served as a bullying prevention trainer for La Sierra University's Center for Conflict Resolution. She has trained nearly 150 Adventist and other schools and community youth organizations across North America. She currently lives in Chicago, Illinois, with her husband and two young daughters, where she works for the Illinois Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in the Education Department. Welcome, Mindy.
Thank you, Willie and Elaine. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Well, we're excited to have you. So look, bullying is such a hot button topic, and it seems everyone has different ways of defining it. Is there a straightforward way to identify bullying behavior?
Such a great question. You know, we get all of these mixed messages around bullying about what it is and isn't, whether it's through media, or, you know, social networking, whatever it is. So it's important for all of us to be on the same page about a true definition of bullying. So with the understanding of what research shows bullying to be, we really look at Dr. Dan Olweus, who is a Norwegian psychologist, and he's really considered the founder of bullying prevention. And he defines bullying really as three parts. Bullying is when someone repeatedly and on purpose says or does mean or hurtful things to someone who has a hard time defending himself or herself. And I believe it's really a critical piece for us to specify that bullying is not a title. Being a bully is not something we want to use, but rather it's a behavior. Mm-hmm. We want to call a child's behavior one that is bullying, or a child's situation, not as being the victim, mm-hmm. but one who is being bullied. So that way we're not putting this umbrella over this child that they can't grow out of, but rather it's a behavior that they can learn how to change.
Wow, I've already learned something already, and thank you for separating those two, because you're absolutely right. Rather than putting that label on the child that now they internalize and then they carry forward, and it's almost like now there's an expectation. Since that's what I'm being called, is a bully.
That's right.
So that's a really good way to look at it.
Absolutely. I'm not a bully. I'm just bullying someone right now. And hopefully tomorrow you will quit that behavior and will no longer need to see you as a bully. Absolutely. So we have another question. What are some myths surrounding bullying? What are some of those myths?
Yeah. Again, you know, popular culture tells us that bullying happens from the big kid. It happens from mostly males. It happens in inner city schools. It happens in low socioeconomic environments. And instead, research shows us that bullying happens everywhere with anyone. So yes, statistically, there are identifiers of those who tend to conduct bullying behavior. But we see bullying happening in small rural one-room schoolhouses. We see them happening with within all levels of socioeconomic status, within all ethnicities and races. When I train Adventist schools, I think one of those myths is that because we're in a Christian environment and we have Jesus principles, that bullying never happens. And in fact, our own Seventh-day Adventist data shows that that's not true. Bullying is, in fact, happening in our parochial school systems too, not because we don't have Jesus values, but because bullying is a humankind behavior. It's a product of sin, and we are all sinful in nature, even though we believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay, so, you know, I like the way you describe that, Jesus values. But Mindy, what is it, though, that's causing a child to bully another child? Why is this happening, then, if we're teaching Jesus values and you're going to a Christian school, you're having family worship at home, maybe. Why? What is causing this child to bully another child?
Yeah, such a great question. You know, I think very often, and research proves this too, that children who bully are acting out some kind of behavior that they are learning from their home environment, whether that's someone who is also an adult individual with bullying behavior, whether they feel a lack of control at home, and so they exert that at school over their peers, whatever it is, we're really oftentimes talking about a systemic pattern of bullying that is passed down generationally often. And we can see that very interestingly in the biblical story in Joseph. Joseph came from this very dysfunctional home life, right, with Jacob and Leah and Rachel and these stepbrothers. And so we can see how that bullying action was a product of home dysfunction.
The reality is, and I love what you're saying, because truly, it's a human condition. And, you know, we're talking about, we're sharing biblical principles with these kids, and yet they're behaving in ways that are outside of the norm, of that norm that we are teaching them about. And the same thing happens with families. You know, we have Christian families, and all kinds of dysfunction take place there. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they're not believing, but we're not always adhering to our belief system. So how do we focus in on what's really happening? Because something more is happening in this particular case. And that happens also with kids who are bullying. And I'm really liking the way that you're connecting those dots. And we can connect those dots for so many maladies in society that are not class-based, that are not, it has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has nothing to do with what your social class is. It has nothing to do with whether you live in the inner city or in the suburbs. It is a sin problem. And here's the reality. Because there's a sin problem, we need Jesus. And not only on the surface as an external, we need Jesus on the inside as an internal to transform us from within. And that's what we really need. And we'll talk some more about that. So after a short break, we'll talk more with Mindy about bullying. Stay with us.
There are many reasons why an otherwise well-behaved child might be unkind to other kids. In the last segment, we started talking with Mindy about the story of Joseph and his brothers. And so, Mindy, I kind of want you to go back a little bit and talk about how this whole bullying activity might be fostered right in the home, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and in most cases, probably unknowingly.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at that story of Joseph, and when I'm teaching kids, whether they're elementary or high school, I use the story of Joseph. We do the Lego form. but I think it's such a poignant story to show not only is bullying historic and happened during biblical times as a result of sin, but that often bullying behavior starts at home, right? And so we look at Jacob sort of as the what not to do as a parent father. He favored his son Joseph and favored Benjamin, and he created this unhealthy
dysfunctional environment.
Thank you for saying that. This tension between the brothers that really had them vying for the parents' attention, right? And so I think over time we see that just domino affecting into then that final bullying incident. I love how Ellen White puts it. Joseph was at the power of those angry men, his brothers, right? And so there we see the definition of bullying. We see that here was the power of the brothers, and here was Joseph unable to defend himself. So we want to make sure that as parents, we're doing the opposite of what Jacob did. We're tuned in to our children. We're tuned into the dynamics between siblings, and that we're addressing any kind of, like you said, competitive behavior, so that they have a sense of equality and love and importance in the home.
Let's be sure that we're not completely saying that there should be absolutely no competition or that people should try to do better, but the competition really needs to be with yourself. Can you do better than what you've done, rather than
comparing?
Can you do better than your brother, or can you do better than your sister? I want to do better than I did yesterday. And that's a value we want to teach our children, but not so much competing with each other, but competing with oneself. Are you growing? Which is exactly what the Bible speaks about in our relationship with Christ. It's all about sanctification. Are we growing closer to Jesus? Are we more like him? Not whether or not I'm more like Jesus than my brother or sister, yeah, but whether or not I am growing in my relationship with him. So I like that notion that the competition, yes, it's there, but it's more with myself than with my sibling.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that no matter where we are in our growth process, our value both in the home and our value to Jesus never changes.
That's
right.
Correct.
Now, Mindy, you also mentioned that sometimes parents may also encourage bullying by telling their children they have to defend themselves. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I think this is, again, back to one of those myths about bullying. And we hear this language from parents, maybe in the generation prior to my current parenting generation, but it sounds like, if someone hits you, you never do the first hit, but if someone bullies you, you defend yourself. You have permission to stand up for yourself, if that means hitting back or name calling, whatever that looks like. That's, some of this mythical messaging that we get about bullying. Instead, what we want to empower our kids to do is to defend themselves, but to safely defend themselves, right? So that they're not in any kind of physical altercation, that they're not in any kind of verbal or online altercation. So equipping our kids with the tool set to safely defend themselves is super important.
So I'd like to follow up and say, ask, Can you unpack that a little bit more about how can you safely defend yourself? So share that with us because the parents who are watching are saying, we've got to hear this and know about this.
Absolutely. So I think, again, the first key is that kids know the definition of what bullying is. And I teach kids the definition through a song. Do you want a song real fast?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. So to teach your children at home what bullying is and how to detect it, I, often say, okay, get your magnifying glass out, put on your detective trench coat. We've got to be looking for what bullying behavior is and isn't. And so I teach them this song. It's to the tune of This Old Man. Here's how it goes. Bullying, it's hurtful and mean. You'll know when you see it, when you spot these three. It's done by one or more. It happens over time, and the person can't defend themselves against the crime. So teach them that bullying definition, and then teach them strategies about how to defend themselves. A lot of times it looks like this. Ignore the bullying behavior. Walk away. Tell an adult. I had one student, even just today, a high schooler said, I chose not to socialize with the kids my age, but instead gained friends that were older than me because those kids were afraid to approach me when I was with older, bigger kids. So there's lots of safe ways to defend yourself without actually throwing a punch back.
So what I'm hearing you say is be smart about it. You know, be creative, position yourselves in a place where you can be safer with bigger kids. And of course, it's all about attitude. I like the fact that you said walk away. I mean, sometimes bullies are just talking smack, we say, and seeing they're throwing stuff at you to see if it will stick. And you can respond. You can choose your response. By not making it stick, by just walking away, ignoring them, because after all, bullies have a problem. And if you could
the one that bullies.
Yes.
The one that bullies. The one with the bullying behavior,
right? The one with the bullying behavior has a problem. So we want to be able to address it in that way.
Yeah. Well, we'll be right back after a short break. Stay with us.
If your child is a bully, you will want to talk to your child right away, as soon as you suspect this is happening. Be calm and try to seek understanding from their point of view. Take this opportunity to guide your child through appropriate friendship behaviors. You can curb bullying behavior and address the issues that might have caused it to happen in the first place. So, Mindy, what are some other ways parents can prevent or curb bullying behavior? Or is it possible to avoid being bullied?
Thanks, Willie. So no matter if we suspect that our child is the one that is doing the bullying behavior or the one that is being bullied, it's absolutely important that us as parents communicate with our kids. If we hear from a teacher or another student that our child is engaged in bullying behavior or is subject to bullying behavior, the first thing you should do is talk to your child about that situation. We also want to look inward, right? As parents, we statistically, and we said this in the story of Joseph, that children who are exposed to aggressive or unkind interactions at home, like Joseph was with his brothers, are more likely to repeat those behaviors at school. So we have to gauge, are we as parents demonstrating kind actions on school boards or in our church member interactions? Are we modeling it or are we actually exemplifying kind of an adult bullying behavior? It's important as we're disciplining our kids that we provide meaningful consequences. So especially when we are disciplining for bullying behavior, we want it to be effective, and it should equip our kids with the toolbox to not do that behavior anymore, right? So this is more of a coping strategy when kids bully. And so we want to equip them with really strong relational pieces like good listening and empathy and things like that.
So, Mindy, real quickly, what would you say would be an appropriate consequence for a child who is engaging in bullying behavior?
Such a great question, Elaine. So I think it all depends on the context of the bullying behavior. Where did it happen? Was the child the sole individual participating in the bullying behavior? Is this a pattern that the child has shown, or is this the first time? We want to take all of those pieces into context before we implement any kind of discipline method. I love the love and logic philosophy of telling your child there will be a consequence, but telling them that you'll let them know what that is later. That buys you as the parent time to do your research, right? So you can contact the school administrator or the teacher and find out kind of that full perspective. You can consult with maybe a mentor parent or even your own personal therapist. And then you come back to the kid and you've probably cooled down a bit too. And you're able to say, okay, here's what we want to learn from this, and here's the consequence that will help us learn it.
Fantastic. All right. So can you keep going on with your points about how we can help to curb or prevent bullying behavior?
Absolutely. So, and this next point goes hand in hand with that consequence, because you want to teach your child how to make it right. Once your child has regained maybe their privilege that they lost because of the consequence, maybe they've had to apologize, then you want to come to them and calmly explain again that this is not who they are, but this is a behavior that you know that they can change. We're all sinful in nature. You want to empower them to make a different choice next time and fix the mistake that they made. And then finally, kind of to tap our Joseph analogy again, we want to make sure that we're in tune as a parent, right? And so again, Joseph was totally checked out as a dad, but we instead want to monitor the situation. If you have another parent that approaches you about your child's either being bullied or doing the bullying behavior, you want to consult with those teachers and come away with a school home strategy so you both can be identifying that problematic behavior.
Yes, Mindy, share your next point with us, please.
Thanks, Willie. So, you know, I think often when we as parents are facing a critical circumstance like bullying, we want to be sure that we're not operating as a silo, but rather we're seeking help and wisdom from others. I love how Proverbs says, seek group of counselors, right? And so whether that looks like a mentor parent, or that looks like our own parents who are grandparents, or our spouse or our partner, we want to collaborate so that we are ensuring that our child is really addressing this bullying behavior and making a pattern that it doesn't happen again. And then finally, it's important to stay connected. And we see, you know, again in the Jacob story, the what not to do, that Jacob was not in tune with his kids. And yet we want to be very in tune with our kids. So it's important to keep that open communication happening with our children, touching base with them, touching base with their teachers and their administrators, advocating both for our child and the child who is subject to the bullying behavior.
Thank you, Mindy, for sharing with us today. We really appreciate that. As you process this reality with your child, remember these words of affirmation from the Bible. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.